so great to see, even if everybody is on the back side. But nevertheless, I know where your heart is. It's on the front side, I'll bet you. But I'm so glad to be able to bring a lesson, you know, and that fourth verse of that song, I appreciate that. It reminds me, you know, I have had an extension of time. In 2009, I had cardiac arrest, as most of you know, and was what some people call dead. I don't remember it. They have to tell you those things, you know, after the fact. But nevertheless, it was like that, and here I am yet today. If it wasn't for a few good individuals, especially one that resuscitated me, I would never have met some of you. So I'm really thankful of that. We are to talk about somewhat of being redeemed. I'm excited about this and a lot of other things that's going on, you know, in the Lord's church. And, of course, I'm disappointed in a lot of things that's happening also. But I read where there are various things taking place in the world, and there's some exciting things happening with the church. There is growth in some areas. Then there is disappointment. And then I read where that one of the church buildings in Kenya was burnt by a group of people that are normally fairly peaceful, I guess you'd say, the Hindus. But they rose up and burnt the church building. Thankfully, everybody was out of it. Nobody was injured. Nobody was hurt. And the church continues in that area. It probably might even help. They might be stronger. But nevertheless, throughout the world, there are a great many things that are happening. There are things that have been overcome, you know, that was a problem a few years ago. And a couple of things that came to mind was this past week. I got into some of my old lessons, and some of them have been packed in boxes, you know. And it is a joy to just read some of the old lessons. It kind of brings back memories, you know. I bet Dennis has already done some of this from time to time, or digging through his father-in-law's messages. But it really is to look at some of the lessons, and some I need to organize, I guess, and have them typed out where they're just handwritten. But nevertheless, we have all been redeemed, and we have been redeemed for a purpose. Some of the purpose we love, because we want to go to heaven. I think that's the reason that most of you are here tonight. You want to go to heaven. And you can only go to heaven by being obedient to God's will and to God's word. So always keep that in mind. But how we're redeemed is the same for each one of us and for all that have become a child of God, a Christian, throughout the world. But something had to happen. Sin had to be put away. It had to be eliminated. And it's a great problem today and in the last few years. I'm sure it has been back over the pages of time. It has been a problem to get rid of sin. The first reason it's hard to get rid of sin is people won't admit that they are sinners. And they must admit that and confess their faults. But I will read here again from Peter those words that they left for us in the first chapter, beginning there at verse 16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of years sojourning in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, but by conversation received from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. That's the purpose of studying Jesus Christ, and that's how they knew that they had been redeemed, was by the precious blood of Christ, that which he shed. He taught that that's how it would happen, and it did happen, did it not? But first, before that blood could be, you know, used, these people had to do something. And the word is so simple, a two-syllable word. It's called repent. But before you repent, you have to realize a little three-letter word, sin. Sin needs to be eliminated. Excuse me. It needs to be known what sin is, and I suppose that's, like I said, the hardest thing about on the face of the earth today is to try to realize and get people to realize that they are sinners. But we'll talk about a few this afternoon as we have time. And we have to remember, I guess, as we begin, those words from Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And into the sixth chapter, we find these words that the result of sin is death, because that's the wages of sin, that's the earnings. But how long will people continue in sin without confessing publicly their sins? In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, we find these words, and they are, that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Of course, we're teaching other people a lie also. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins, or to forgive us sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, there's conditions there. And then the next verse there, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So the words of the gospel are not in us if we make Him a liar and we say that we have not sinned. Got to admit that we are sinners. And people just don't want to do it. But one reason is some things I want to touch on this afternoon, and I'll just call it what some other people have called it, the new morality. It's actually immorality, but we'll call it like they say it is. But we're being told to quit worrying about certain things. Starting back in the 50s and 60s, 60s and 70s, they were talking about, don't worry about so much sexual crime, for instance. Because we're going to have sex education in the schools, and it'll be taught like that, and we don't have to pay attention then to modest dress. We don't have to pay attention to the sensual sins, fornication and all this sort of thing. If we educate the people, it was going to be eliminated. It would not be there. But if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, you will find that the scriptures still say, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, effeminate, and all this sort of people that will, you know, they will not, the thieves, the covetous, and all of these people cannot and will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the world don't seem to realize that. They don't want to call a sin a sin. We had the same problem in the government, not wanting to call terrorists terrorists. You know, you just have to call a spade, as some people like to say. That's what we ought to do it. But a lot of people just refer to these things as some kind of sickness, and that's it. We find that people rebel. We refuse to call a thing of what it is, don't we? There's another thing. We don't want to call illegitimate children illegitimate children. And when a couple has a child, they're not married. That's an illegitimate child. But rather, we ought to look at it like this. There are two there, illegitimate parents. The parents are illegitimate. They have no right to be parents unmarried. Who gave them this permission? It did not come from God. They are committing adultery, fornication, and so forth. And, you know, that's the way we ought to look at it. We ought to teach it like that. But the poor little children, the born to these people like that, they're the ones that suffer. They're the ones. I remember a school teacher several years ago telling me this, that used to have a night at which the parents came, the PTA meeting, the parents came to meet the teacher and so forth, and Mrs. Jones comes in, and, you know, her daughter, Kathy Jones, or whatever you want to call her name, is there, and then here comes this man with her. She doesn't say, Mr. Jones. She says, is this your father? See, she don't want to put her own foot in her mouth, because so often the guy there is not a biological parent to the child. See? And they're not even married, maybe. Illegitimate parents is happening all over the Western world, especially, is it not? Today, we know that there are many children born under the conditions of sin, S-I-N. Another one, hundreds of thousands of Americans are chemically dependent, as they call it. And we have a great many people that are making a good living trying to get these people off of drugs and off of alcohol. Whatever happened to calling a drunk a drunk? Calling a wino a wino? It is still a sin to be a drunkard. Call it a sin. These people are not just sick, as they say, but Galatians chapter 5:21, we know that drunkenness is a sin. These people are sick, yes. They bring it on themselves, do they not? But let me tell you something Matt Knight has learned. I have never heard of an alcoholic who did not take the first drink. If you avoid the first drink, you will never be an alcoholic. If you never start on marijuana or some dope, you will never become a dope head. It's not going to happen. Got to take control of your life and avoid that. Avoid the temptations, you know, that come along. You're not a sinner until you have been enticed and drawn away with these things. So put it aside. People need to realize that. You know, people are not born like that. No way, shape, or form. Would a person inject themselves with a rabies vaccine and of this virus and become rabid, mad, you know, would they be guilty of the genes their parents gave them? Absolutely not. That's a decision a person made, and the same thing is true with drunkenness and chemical dependency like that where they get off on drugs. What about a kleptomania? That is, people that steal. Thou shalt not steal. Hadn't that been around a long time? It's still true today. We do not steal. You can observe those people from time to time in a store that are stealing, slipping something, taking something, but it's still a sin. It is a sin. And that's not just a so-called illness, as they say, but it is stealing. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, we know that the Bible tells us, let him that stole steal no more. When you're coming to Jesus Christ and want salvation, you want your sins forgiven, give up these sins that I'm mentioning. Because the Bible tells us to do that. Give them up. You don't need it. You don't have to steal. Go out and work. That's what the Bible teaches. If you don't work, you're going to have a hard time eating. Of course, I realize you may go down to the soup kitchen. There's quite a few go down there. Quite a few people don't like to see the crowd down there because they say, hey, that guy don't deserve it. He's got a job or he's got money or whatever. But anyway, there's crowds of people down there at the soup kitchen. A lot of people help support that. But if you are having trouble stealing, and some people do. I've known a couple of people that did. I remember this guy. If he ever came to your house, he was looking around at everything. He'd look at your garage. He'd look at everything laying around. Somehow that he could come back over and steal something. And he was proud of it. If he went into a store, he oftentimes come out with something. I got me a candy bar. I said, man, you're nothing but a thief. A plain old thief. And you know, some people are proud of it, that they can do that and get away with it. Because they think, well, they're not going to do nothing with me. Stealing just a candy bar. Why is it wrong to steal a penny? Because it's wrong to steal 100 of them. Or 10,000 of them. That's why. It's stealing. And you know something? You don't earn no points between you and God by stealing. Think about it like that. The world designates what male and female is. They have put aside the teachings of the Bible. And a lot of things about male and female have become a sin to people. But in the beginning, God created man and woman, male and female. And people need to realize what the Lord is saying concerning homosexuality and this sort of thing. It is not to be some respectable badge of honor to be worn, to be, you know, touted, to shout from the rooftops. But today I had NPR radio on. Maybe some of you do too. Every once in a while I listen to it. There is some good news. There's certain things there. But there's also some thoughts there. The stations, each and every one of these public radio stations, are very pro-lesbian. They talk about lesbian plays, lesbian music, lesbian lifestyles, and all this sort of thing. Frequently, if you listen to North Carolina Weekend, it tells you what's going to happen in the area throughout the state. Pretty good, except for about 5 or 6 or 7 minutes of it. It either gets into this type of lifestyle, plays they're putting on over at Chapel Hill or at Greensboro, UNCG there, or they're talking about the booze end of it, one or the other. They always go to a winery. They go to a restaurant and flout, just what all they're serving there. The great numbers of wine they got, or booze, whatever it is. Can't get off of that kick. They're pushing it down people's throats here in the state of North Carolina, and they're doing it all over the nation. I get on to them in food line every once in a while. I go in there, and they had, you know, rearranged the store. But when you go in on the left side, got all of this booze lined up. Well, then I'd go over to get some bananas or something, produce, and here they got an area display there about 10 feet wide, 4 or 5 feet tall. I said, this looks like a beer joint. It just goes in one ear and out the other. They don't care what I think about it. But I let them know what I think about it. If enough of people did, I remember years ago, Brother Ferris, Sister Ferris, and a bunch of them got on to them about showing this all this old flashy material there where you check out, you know, magazines or tabloids or whatever you call them. And they've hid some of them. They didn't put them out there no more for a while. They've come back. That's beside the point. Look what the Bible is saying. God, in the beginning, Genesis 18 and 19, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of sin. Destroyed, burnt, obliviated. We should keep in mind that our judge is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Hebrews 13, 8. That's the way our Lord is. He hasn't changed. Why don't we call these things what they are? Each one of them is spelled with the same three letters, S-I-N, sin. And tell people what a sin is. People say, oh, that's a sin. But they don't say what a sin is. I have run into young people, couples, that run off living together and they aren't married. Well, I don't want to get into a relationship that might cause, you know, divorce. I don't want to be divorced. And they're not all young folks now. There's folks almost as old as I am. Not a lot of people are old as I am no more, but there's some around almost that age. And they, too, are doing the same thing. It is still a sin. S-I-N. The results of these lifestyles, social diseases, what a misnomer, social. They're unsocial, aren't they? Antisocial. And then people get these diseases, AIDS, AIDS, things like that. Most of those problems, 99% of all the people that have AIDS, it was caused by a sinful lifestyle. About 1% or less have gotten an injection of blood or accidentally in a medical procedure, an unclean needle or something has passed the virus to somebody else. All the others have caught it in a basically the same manner. They're sin. Would you say that on the radio? Would you say that on television? The announcers won't say it like that. They want you to be careful how you say it. But all of this type of behavior It must be accountable. It will be accounted for at the judgment day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we find that we're all going to stand before the judgment day and give an account of the deeds done in the body. Are you going to stand before then God and say, God, I didn't realize that was a sin. He says, I gave you my word. I wrote it down for you. And we had brothers and sisters in Christ that gave their life to protect His word, to preach His word, and to take it into all the world and teach people the way of salvation and truth from the Bible itself. Because that is God's power. You know, Romans 1:16, it is the gospel. And these people gave their lives sometimes that people could know what is truth and what is a lie. What is a sin and what is righteousness. There's a difference. And we will be judged by this book, John 12 and verse 48. The words that I have spoken, how much fairer could it be than that? You know, it's not like a test you didn't know the answer to before you got there. God gave us these answers. He said, the words that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. God left a book for instruction for man. He put it on the earth. And you know what it says? It says we should not be slothful in business. We should not be greedy in business. We should extend a business or run a business like we would want to be treated. It would be like we love God, you know, with our heart, mind, and soul. The first commandment there. But the second one being likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Treat people in a business way like you want to be treated. That word neighbor comes from a Greek word, it's actually two words, ton hebron. And it means simply the other. Treat the other like you would yourself. That's wonderful. Treat others like you would yourself. Treat thy neighbor as thyself. We get the message either way. But throughout the Bible here, people that will not work do not eat. Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 21. It says, for a woman to wear modest apparel, 1 Timothy 2, 9, tells us not to steal, not to purloin. You know what purloin means? Titus 2 and verse 10, the word purloin, that means to steal something that isn't yours. You covet it and you go and get it. Now, he's not talking about watermelon. I think watermelons, you're immune there. You go get one of them once in a while. Everything else is stealing. It would be watermelons too, unless your neighbor said you could go get one. But people really don't want to hear too much about stealing. They don't want to hear too much about these sins, but we ought to let them know that they're there. There are sins there. And spell it out what it is. And there's another one. I want to mention this. You know what? I stopped by the Legion Hut on the way in yesterday morning. A couple of guys there were talking about some gambling. This one guy... It was his first trip. He went up to Las Vegas, and it wasn't one of the free junkies, you know, but he paid his way and went out there, and he come back bragging, said, I won $3,000. The other guy said, how much did you lose? He said, I won $3,000. How much did you lose? $10,000. $10,000. Now, that's kind of expensive fun, is it not? To lose ten, he wasn't going to tell you that until he was pressed. He bragged about the first three. They let him win that so they could get on his hip. I mean, they like to get on your hip out there. They'll pay your way out there and feed you and wine and dine you, as the expression goes, so they can get you on your hip and get you money there. Gambling is a sin. You're desiring and trying to get something for nothing. I don't support raffles. I don't buy tickets to things like that. I don't support the barbecues and and spaghetti supper over here on the other hill across from us. Two times this year I know they've had spaghetti supper. I don't do that. I'm not supporting their work. I'm supporting the Lord's work. Give money to people that need it in the Lord's work and the Lord's kingdom. And you know, there's a great need of brothers and sisters that need help and congregations that need help. Some of them right here in North Carolina. We need to realize that covetousness is idolatry. Did you know that? Yeah, you've heard that before, hadn't you? That's what the Bible says. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. That covetousness is like idolatry. And we aren't supposed to have idols. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. Not to be idolaters. It's amazing. People that covet. But why don't we just say what we mean to people? So they can see themselves as they really are in the sight of God and man. They did that on the day of Pentecost. Peter stood up and he told those people, these men of Israel, what was wrong with their lives. I know that we should not make people feel bad or badly about themselves, but I don't understand why we should want to make bad people feel good. Big difference there. Don't make bad people feel good. Well, he ain't so bad. How often have you heard that about people's lives? He's not so bad. If he's got a sin in his life, he's kind of bad. If you don't believe it, ask that Heavenly Father up there. He needs to get rid of that sin. We all need to do it. We need to make a change so we can be redeemed. We need to warn people. Just as I mentioned a few moments ago, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 and various other verses, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds done in the body. Some people, though, seem to think, well, God, I just don't see a lot coming from God. I mean, I obeyed the gospel, but I just don't feel much different no more. Things have kind of gotten a rut, I reckon. I reckon they're saying something like, what has God done for me lately? What have you done for me lately, Lord? There's a little story I'll tell you about that. Concerns the late Senator Sam Irvin. He was Senator of North Carolina. Gwen remembers him. We were over at Daughter Kay's graduation, and Sam gave the commencement speech, and he was well represented, the state was, by him. And then in 1973, remember the Watergate hearings. But anyway, Senator Sam was running for re-election, and he needed to get out and catch a few votes or see what people are thinking. And he walks down the street of Morgan in his hometown. He sees a friend. He walks up to him and says, I'm running for re-election. I hope I can count on your vote, you know, in November. Well, I don't know now, Sam. But, well, didn't I help you and your brother-in-law in that land deal 3 or 4 years ago? He said, yeah, you did. I'm grateful for that. But I don't know. Wait a minute now. Now, didn't I get your wife appointed postmaster over here in this little town called Dobson, North Carolina? Yes, you did. So I really thank you for that. And didn't I just last spring get your son appointed a cadet at West Point? Yes, sir, you did. But what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately? That's where we look at things from God. What has God done for you lately? Everything. Your whole life. The breath that you have. The food that you've eaten. It's all been ultimately behind the scenes provided by God. And we forget Him so often. We think we can do better than that. You know, I saw the show the other day talking about King Tut. You know, the tomb over there. I've seen it 2 or 3 times, but they're still amazed at all the things they find in there, and all the other kings' tombs have been destroyed, broken into, and that sort of thing. But if you look at the picture of King Tut's tomb, it has 2 chariot wheels, a chariot. They had to take it apart. It's a small little tomb. And all the stuff that's been put in there for his afterlife, to take him on to eternity. see how people think. And there was another one that about 300 years B.C., and he was an emperor in China. And they had discovered back in the 50s 8,000 more than life-size terracotta figurines of soldiers. 8,000 plus elephants. These great big war and life-size war elephants. What's the purpose of it? To take him, escort him to his afterlife. Foolishness. The way people think in their head. Then you say, that's ridiculous. But they did it. We've got people that live beside us or among us or close to us that have some ridiculous thoughts about going to eternity too. But they're going to be judged by this book and how we have lived according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dennis almost hit on one this morning from Micah. They're in chapter 6. A few verses from where he was making his point. There's a couple more verses there. Let's see if we can touch on and real briefly here, so time is up. But these people had some thoughts too there, you know, about how to stand before God. Verse 6, begin with verse 6 in Micah chapter 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves of a year old? See, they're asking a question. Shall I do that? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Not one ram, but thousands of rams. Or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? Would you offer your own child? People do. The Polynesians of the islands of Hawaii and so forth were all just in this century were still offering human sacrifices into these volcanoes and stuff. Where did they get that? They didn't get it from God. God is not pleased with the offerings of these rams. God is not pleased with the offerings of idols made of silver and gold or gold-plated or anything else or of straw or of wood. Can a wooden God talk? Never. He can't say a word. He can't even smile. He's not smart as old Kalijah, the wooden Indian down by the antique store, as the song goes. These things he mentions there. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see the name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? These people were dishonest, were they not? They were seeking these treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and they sent a measure that is abominable, an abomination. Shall I count them pure? With the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights, I have trouble reading a cataract. But anyway, you can see it there. God's not pleased with these things. He wants you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what has been around for 2,000 years. The gospel of Jesus Christ. These are the things that men can devise are not going to save you. They have no point in salvation, no part in salvation. And people that preach these other doctrines have no part in salvation. I was telling you, I was reading some things, some old lessons and notes and things from a few years back. One of the sad things that happened to the Churches of Christ was something that came out of Ohio and Illinois, and it was a doctrine that would eliminate the church. And it went away from the church. People said, just preach Jesus and not the church, you know. The church didn't have no importance to them. And this thing is still hung on. I mean, we got right out here along Langley Road, the Cove, there's one there, there's one in Statesville, there's one Ashboro, Concord, they're all around, and it's an outgrowth of that same thing. They come in with their drums and horns and guitars and pay. The musician's good. Mitchell, my son, told me what some of his guys made down there playing music. I said, I wouldn't want a nickel of their money. Have nothing to do with it. But anyway, they have no knowledge of Jesus Christ and the church and don't want any. They're proud of it. They, in this congregation assembly, would be ashamed to be here. And I'm afraid sometimes some of our brethren are ashamed of what they hear, ashamed of the truth. We should never be ashamed of the truth. We should be ashamed of the lies that we hear. They are too many. But anyway, the gospel calls us. That's how we are called, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to obey that, repent from sin, turn from it. Nay, I'll tell you, except you repent, Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, you shall all likewise perish. Don't perish when you have the truth before you that tells you how to become a child of God, an heir to the great promise of salvation and heaven itself. But as you repent, turn to the Lord. He tells you what to do. Come confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and your dependence upon Him for salvation, because we can't be saved without Jesus. We must be in Christ. And the way to get in Christ, the Bible tells us, we're baptized into Christ. For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. One body. One church. Jesus our Lord is head of that church. He died to build it. Matthew chapter 16 verse 18 in those verses. To build the church. That's the church of Christ. The church of our Lord and Savior. But if you're not a Christian tonight, won't you consider these things and be obedient to these things? A song is the mouth. We're going to sing it. There may be others that some way or another have wandered astray. If it's a public sin, publicly, well, we'll help you, assist you in any way we can, pray with you and for you. But let it be known. But if it's a private sin, repent. We all need to do that on a daily basis, I'm sure, because we're all sinners. But we have forgiveness of God if we do repent. I want you to know, if we can help anybody, come now as we stand and sing.